All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. Excited to have you return each week for some of the freshest creatives in the city of Chicago and beyond. I want to encourage you, if you have not done already, to please subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes, and please search for it on any medium that you listen to podcasts. We have a new format and are really looking to get our subscriptions up as we changed over on Apple Music recently, but also find us on Spotify and tell people. We've had a great run of guests of late, and today is no different. We have a really incredible young musician in the building whose work I have been excited about for some time, who has a brand new EP that has just been released into the world. It's called Flight of the Bumblebee?
Flight of the Honeybee.
My bad. Flight of the Honeybee. This EP is really beautiful. Excited to hop in and talk with its creator. Please, in the Corner Store, y'all, welcome my man, Asar. Yes, sir. Asar.
Hello, sir.
Asar. I get that wrong. Asar. Asar, yo, man. First of all, welcome, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is dope. This is really, really dope.
This project is beautiful. It's a five track EP, Flight of the Honeybee. I want to talk because sonically it's doing a lot of different things. But just to begin with, like, what is up with your obsession with honeybees?
So for the scope of this project, I kind of used honeybees as a metaphor of your everyday marginalized group of people. Honeybees are very important to the ecosystem in which we live in, but they're often overlooked and stigmatized in very negative ways with very negative connotations. When in actuality, they are pretty harmless. Bees attribute to 1/3 of like our world's food population. Without bees, that doesn't exist. The work they do makes that happen. Bees aren't really aggressive. They're defensive. The only time they ever really like attack is when pushed to a point where they have something to protect or like they have no other option. Then you take things like honey, for example, which the world loves but does nothing to produce. It's something that bees work their whole life to obtain and produce, that's stripped away from them the moment that someone sees value in it.
Wow, man. It's deep. Yeah. I mean, look, you are a very smart dude, and hip hop is, you know, easily the most ingenuitous and smartest genre I think that the world has seen. But this album has depth and layers to it. I want to ask you a question about Sonics, but just even that, right? Like that kind of analogy, metaphor making. I mean, how do you even come to that concept? And I guess, that's a question, and I want to talk about the writing process too. But
yeah, the concept was actually spurred off of the first track. Like, I wrote the first track first, and then came up with the concept. I was sitting at the crib, and my homie Emmy, who produced that track, sent it over to me, and I was listening to it. Very jazzy. It just sounded like movement. It sounded like springtime, and it sounded like buzzing, which reminded me of bees. When I originally thought of the concept, it was like bees. Bees are busy. Bees stay working, and I likened myself to like a bee, like how hard I've been working for the past couple of years to produce and to, you know, make things happen. And I don't know, that small concept just kind of flourished, because by the time I was done writing the initial track, I was just like, yo, like, I feel like I'm onto something here. And I just kind of delved more and more into it, and it all worked. It all made sense.
And it does. There is a narrative over the course of these tracks that is seamless. You really are telling a story. Were you into bees prior to hearing that track, or is this something that you're like, yo, and you put kind of two and two together and went down a bit of a rabbit hole?
I put two and two together and went down a rabbit hole like I do everything else in life in general. It was just like, this seems interesting. Now I'm interested. Now I'm going to learn everything.
Right. Okay. So so I want to talk about that, but you just said the last couple of years you've been working really hard. You've been working. You know, you equated yourself to the life of a bee. What do you mean? What's been happening the last couple of years? What kind of work have you been putting in?
Yeah, the last couple of years have very much been like an incubation period where, like, especially within the last year specifically, where I've just kind of kept my head down and I've been working and working to produce and have an output. I feel like over the past 3 years, I've had, and I'm grateful to God for it, but like the opportunities and success that I've been able to have in the past few years has really been driven by like the support of the people around me. But I always felt like I didn't have enough of an output. Like prior to this project, I had an album that I put out in, I believe, 2016, and an EP that I put out in 2017.
Right.
Other than that,
right,
you may get a one-off single once a year, but there I didn't have anything.
Right. Yeah, and in music, especially now, that is a dearth of material. Given the, you know, a lot of times, like the rapidity in which people put out singles, projects, EPs, mixtapes, the whole nine. Has that changed then for you? I mean,
within the past, since 2020 started, I've basically doubled my catalog in terms of music that I have out in the course of a year. So like, it's been a busy one. It's been busy. It's been buzzing. It's been very energetic. There's been a lot of energy around what we've been doing and like the movement we've been able to make. So all of that tied together, it just felt like the movement of bees.
Yeah.
And when you talk about like community and the community around me, because I said a lot of this stemmed from like the support of the people around me. You talk about a bee and a hive and how like it's really a movement of everyone, an amalgamation of everyone working together. So,
yeah, well, and you, I mean, you know, of course, like I've, you know, known of you and your music and have seen you perform and have been a fan for some time. And to me, you have been a part of this kind of new school of emerging Chicago hip hop musicians. I put in this category, you know, like the Dear Homies, one of my favorite rap groups, period, Mother Nature,
yes.
You know, Matt Muse. You know, there is like a new generation of like very cool kids who are emerging in the scene. Like who is a part of this hive, as you say?
I would have to include, of course, and Mother Nature are like my big sisters. I love
right,
them so
yeah,
much.
They're great.
Yeah, Mother Nature, Matt Muse, of course, I have, like, my own collectors I'm a part of, like, Outernet, which includes Karali Payne, Mike Well, Aaron Doe, Isaiah G, Stoneface, Miko, like, there's a whole core group there.
Yeah, you guys can rap, for real. That Outernet crew is, like, you guys are ridiculous, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. We have a lot that we're excited to put out, too, that we've just been working on and sitting on.
Good.
Which reminds me, I have to hit the track back. But anyway, just my group of people around me, Josie Green, Ro Marsalis, Shy Atkins, people who I really started with and started making music with. Like, I too feel like in Chicago art, there's kind of a renaissance happening and we're starting to bubble again. So it's really dope to see.
Yeah. And Ro, of course, is on this project. Who are some of the other folks that you work with on this project?
In terms of features, the only two features on the project are Ro and Aaron Doe. In terms of production, there were a lot of hands on deck. So you got Aaron, who not only had a feature, but has two beats on the project. You got Ro, of course, who kind of was the executive producer of it all. My homie Emmy, I was talking about earlier. My guy Medina, my homie Miko, Stoneface, D-Noel, my homie Elijah, I think, played lead guitar on at least one of those joints. It was was very much a group effort.
Nice. Good. And, okay, so Flight of the Honeybee is out now. We'll give out the socials at the end, but it's, I mean, I was listening on Spotify today. It's streamable everywhere. What's your social so people could stay in tune as we're talking to?
Yeah, you can find me on everything at Asar Music, AUSAR Music.
Okay, great. So you mentioned, like, you know, you'd had this space between 2016, 17, and now to 2020. You know, I know for sure you've also been, you know, graduating college, right? Like you were downstate, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you were at the University of Illinois in Champaign. What were you graduated recently?
I did graduate. I graduated May 2019.
Right. So congratulations. What is your degree in?
My degree is in community health with a concentration in health administration.
Right. Okay. And how are you? Because you're already using that degree in some ways, right?
To a degree. Currently, I work with international high school students, actually. Basically, I'm an RA, but, like, if you could mix an RA and a parent together, that's kind of what I'm doing. Because they're, like I said, they're here for high school. So my title is, like, a campus coordinator. We oversee things like daily, if they have to go to the hospital visits or they need physicals or if they just need a ride to, like, sports practice or we need to get them food. Like, it's truly a mix of all of that.
And this is an international school.
So the school actually is local, but these are international students who are coming here to just go to, like, American high school.
Right. And you live on campus just outside of the city, just outside of Chicago?
Yeah, just outside the city.
Right. So first of all, that's amazing. I mean, they know, like, how nice you are with these words. Are they aware that?
Yeah, they are. Kind of unfortunately, because, you know, when high school students figure out that type of stuff, then it's like, hey, will you rap for me? But yeah, they happened to watch this show called Rhythm and Flow and saw a familiar face, and cat was out the bag.
Right, right, and which is a show you were on Netflix that you know premiered not too long ago.
Yes, sir.
So that's pretty cool because you're not much older than these kids, and yet you have this kind of almost parental, as you said, parental relationship with them. Mm-hmm. You know, is that an area of? I mean, other than being like a bona fide, you know, rap celebrity, is that like an area of work that you want to be in?
I mean, in terms of where I am now, yes, because it's a level of mentorship that I think is really, really dope. And at all levels, I want to be able to be a mentor to whoever's coming up under me, because the purpose of having knowledge is to share it. As it pertains to my degree in general, also, yes, because what I'd really like to get into is stuff centered around, like, healthcare reform and trying to really just be a voice for marginalized groups who can't really be that voice for themselves. Making sure that people have the resources and aid they need in the areas that need it most. So,
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, it's very clear you have a solid foundation, a great head on your shoulders, and you're also, you know, community minded. How did you come to care in that way? Like, I mean, who are your people? Like, what do your folks do?
Yeah, actually, a lot of my people all kind of live and breed in the healthcare community. But family and just community in general is something that's been instilled in me since I was super young. That and I don't know, I think part of it is due to the fact that I grew up in the church, and in the church, like, it was a very family oriented congregation. And I have people who have been looking out for me since I was super young, even when I'm away and come back, like, how you been, what's been going on with you, update me, all of that. And then the family that I do have around me also just are very, I've been blessed to have people who are just in my corner and truly want to see me succeed. So community and just, like, family building have been things that have always been near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. And what denomination? You mentioned the church.
Say it again.
You mentioned the church, and so what kind of church life? What kind of denomination or?
Yeah, I'm Christian. In terms of what specific denomination, I really couldn't even tell you.
Okay. But you went as, like, now or even as a kid, you would go to church and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My entire life, literally from the time I was born to now. Yeah.
And is the church also aware that you are a rapper?
They are. And that's been interesting. Not in a bad way.
No?
not in a bad way. It's just like, I think it was interesting for everybody because when I was younger, I always kind of had an inclination for music, but never took it seriously. It wasn't until I got to college where I was just like, I'm going to put out music. And everybody was like, okay. And then things started happening and they were just like, oh, okay, we get it. So the support is even there and it's cool to see. It's cool to see.
All right. So let's talk about then your gravitation towards music. I mean, you said you first put it out in college, but certainly prior to that, you know, you have been a fan. What are some of your earliest memories of hip hop?
So here's what's crazy. Because like my mom specifically, like very traditional Christian household, when I was young, I couldn't even listen to rap music. It wasn't until my mom got married and I linked up with my stepbrothers, my older brother Nicholas, and PJ too, I give him a little credit. But Nick was the person who first like really put me on to hip-hop music because I was really close to Nick and I really looked up to him. And like, I remember I got a hold of his MP3 one day and it was just instrumentals in there. And by happenstance, like maybe a week or two later, he was talking to me and he was just like, what music do you listen to? Me trying to be a cool little brother, I was just like, oh, I like to listen to instrumentals. And so like that turned into him just putting me on week by week. Really fell in love with like stuff from Ye, stuff from Common, Mos Def, just that whole genre, Lupe Fiasco, like these were my introductions to hip hop. And then my dad, on the other side of the spectrum, when I got my first MP3, he was the first person to like upload music on it for me. So he was giving me stuff like Lauryn Hill, D'Angelo, Tribe, like.
Right.
So those are my earliest influences as it pertains to hip hop.
Right. So you have a real foundation in kind of like, you know, kind of like the cats who were reared and the iteration just after Native Tongue, like that kind of like in some ways like a like not golden era, but like I think the ones who inherited the golden era and continued carrying that torch. You know, like that Soul Aquarian kind of vibe. It's interesting that your dad and your mom had a different opinion. I don't know if that led to their separation or not. I don't think it did. But after you got into that music, when you started to develop your own taste, who did you gravitate toward, and who are some of the folks that you were inspired by even now?
Yeah, I think out of everyone that my brothers initially showed me, the ones who I took and ran with where it was just like, this is who I'm looking up to, Common still to current date is my favorite rapper. And after hearing Ye, I was hooked.
Right.
I was just like, this is the guy. Once I started to develop my own music taste, the people who immediately caught my attention were the ones who are present in the limelight currently, like the J. Cole's, the Drake's, the Kendrick's. Once I heard them, I was just like, wow, this is crazy. At one point, I was a huge fan of like, well, also when the Chicago music scene started really bubbling up, that time around like 2012, around the acid rap era with Mick and all of them.
Yeah.
That was kind of a finding error for me where, for a couple of reasons. One, because like it showed me it was tangible here.
Right.
And not really a one off. Like people who I can see any given day around, just around the city, like, they're making this happen.
And were you in high school at that time? Were you?
I was in high school at that time.
And where did you go?
The Institute of Health Sciences Career Academy on 25th and Western.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. So you were around, and so to that point, like, you would see some of these folks in the world, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I got introduced to YCA around that time.
Right.
And the rest was just kind of history from there. It just felt tangible, and it was cool to see. So those are my early influences of, like, this is me finding my own music.
That really matters, to your point, you know, that you know, the proximity to people who are doing it, right? Then it really does become possible. I think it's part of why a local, you know, scene is so important, because if you're going to foster a community, it needs to be local. Like, if you just see, you know, Kendrick, J. Cole, whoever you're admiring from afar, I don't know if it seems as possible. It seems, you know, that's what folks do out there, but if you're you know, if down at another high school you're listening to somebody else's mixtape who goes to the high school, and you're like, oh shit, well, why don't I put out a mixtape? You know it's just, I think that's important as a way to encourage other people to do it. And I think it's you're not alone in that, but I think of you as, you know, because this is now 8 years removed from that. In some ways, it's a different generation, really. Mm-hmm. You know, even though y'all are not, you know, you guys aren't, you're not that much younger than Mick, let's say, at all. But in some ways, it is. I don't know if you see that as like hip hop has like shorter generations than most cultures. So I don't know if you see it like that.
I do. I definitely do, especially because of when I started making music. Like, I think I would see it a little differently had I been making music back then up until now. But I definitely think I was inspired by that era. Because seeing them is what made me go, maybe this is more tangible than what I think.
So in high school, were you a writer?
In high school, I was a writer. I also produced in high school.
Okay.
I produced in high school, and that was really my focus back then up until college, was just production.
And you're still producing?
Let me tell you something. I'm getting back to production. I'm trying to start from the basics, because when I was in high school, I kid you not, I was producing all of the stuff I was producing off of my iPad. Mm-hmm. It was an app called Beatmaker that was really user-friendly. It was basically just an MPC pad with preloaded samples and drum kits, and you could do basically the basics of everything. You could do it.
Right.
And I just kind of figured my way out through that and made it work. Now that I don't have that anymore and I have to figure out another DAW, like, I have to start from the basics again.
Yeah. Well, so as a writer, I think one of the things that I like about your work is that, one, you are, you know, you could tell in your work, you're not, you know, it's not a reach to say that, like, there's so much thought. You're, you know, it's clearly, like, well crafted, and it sounds good, not only because it's well crafted, but you also put a lot of melody and different intonations in your voice. It's, you know, it isn't like a monotone kind of, like, in the pocket only type of style. So I'm wondering where that influence comes from. Is if it comes from the church, if it comes, you know, where does that sit? I mean, you sound like a real, and I mean this in the highest kind of praise, like a Midwestern rapper who is also influenced by gospel and the blues and soul music. And, you know, you're in this tradition in my mind too. So where does this come from for you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much. But yeah, I think it comes from a number of different places. I think writing in general has always been something I've really been adamant about. And I've kind of had some sort of inclination towards. Even like in school, writing has always been one of my strongest subjects. And I don't know, I feel like writing is one of those spaces where it allows me to be as free as I want to be. And because I can be as free and expressive as I want to be, I don't want to color inside the lines. Like I wanna use different tones. I wanna use different spacing for whatever rhymes I'm trying to put together. I wanna change up flows. I want to be as different as possible. One of the people who inspired me most to do things like that, two really, because like I said, Common is my favorite rapper. And listening to him growing up, and just how he maneuvered in and out of pockets, always was really, really cool to me. Once I started listening to Andre 3000, I was just amazed. I was amazed at what he was able to do with the beat in front of him. I feel like every time Andre 3000 writes anything, he looks at the beat and he's just like, yeah, I'm not going to do any of that.
Right.
And I always just thought that was the coolest thing ever. So it just taught me, like, you don't have to use, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't have to use stuff that seems like native. Find your own pockets, figure it out, do something different.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I before you said that, I was going to ask about an Outkast influence, because on this project, Flight of the Honeybees, there is so many different tonalities. There's so many different effects even on the voice that it does feel, it reminds me of an Outkast project. And in a similar way, to hear you talk about the metaphor of the honeybee, it feels a little like AT Aliens in that way, you know? And that usage of the metaphor, that usage of kind of an otherness in some ways. And so that's great to hear, and it makes listening to this record, out of all the people that you said have influenced you, I hear Outkast more on this record than anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is,
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, it's fucking, yeah. I mean, listen, they're, you know, maybe the greatest rap group of all time, top three, five, maybe, for sure. I mean, so yeah, no, I mean it as a compliment, and I think how I mean it is that it seems like you are willing to experiment.
Most definitely. I like I said earlier, the last, even how the project came about, I've been working on the album for quite some time, and if I'm being completely upfront and honest, that album became very daunting to me, because I felt like there were a lot of eyes watching what I would be doing next and what it was gonna sound like, and people were expecting it to just be like great. Not that I don't think the music is great, that's there for it, but I think I got so caught up in like what I thought other people would think of it that it became too much pressure for me to actually produce. And so I had to put the album to the side for a minute and started working on other things. And this project was really an exercise to me in freeness and expression, moving away from that. Like, this was just something I was doing that nobody knew was coming, with no eyes on it. And I can do it the way I want to because no one has any expectations for this. So a lot of it was free. A lot of it was definitely experimentation and me honing in on things I like to do. And just really sharpening my sword in a lot of different areas, and I'm glad that translates in the actual music.
No, it really does. It really, really does. Like, this is a beautiful project, and I say that sincerely. I, as a fan, and as you know, someone who has been, you know, in proximity to you, I would encourage you to continue to get out your own way, you know, and trust yourself, because we as a fan base, as a listenership, like, just we just like you, you know what I mean? Like and whatever you put out, it we're going to like. And so trust us to just to know that there is a, you know, we are desirous of it, and don't overthink it, you know. You just alluded to what feels like then a whole lot of other work. You know, you mentioned a whole album and other things. So, you know, so this is a taste. It's a 5-track EP.
This is a taste.
So what do we have coming?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. This was really like you said, it was a taste. It was, I haven't put anything out since 2017. This is a heat check. Like I said, for the past year, I've been working on a whole lot. I don't think I'm done releasing music for the year yet.
Great. Great. It's October. So good.
Yeah, it's October. I don't think I'm done for the year.
Okay.
And then next year, Lord bless and stay the same. If things continue in the trend of the new normal, whenever we get to what that is, then we'll have more surprises in store. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. I won't hold you too much. But what is it like to put out a project, to put out anything in a moment like this?
That answer changes day by day. I think there's so much going on in the world that sometimes it feels distracting in a way. Sometimes there can be like a level of guilt of putting out music when like the world is burning around you. But then I also realize that music has always been the vessel, has been the tool to tell the tale of the time period. I think even with the message of this project, it's very inclusive of what's going on in the world today. And outside of that, just having to be a little bit more innovative in how you roll out music, because we don't have things like live concerts where people can feel the energy with you while you're there. It's a lot more content based, just staying in the consumer space with whatever type of content you can until like you can really hit the ground running and move around again. So it's been an interesting sort of switched up, because we kind of already, I love using social media as a tool. Like, I'm very active on social media. So in some ways this wasn't really a pivot. It's just like leaning more into it. But it is a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah, of course. I've had the privilege of seeing you perform. You're also a great performer who seems to have fun with it. And so, you know, to not have that, you know, that audience in front of you and not be able to share, you know, this project in particular with people live and direct in the same way that you know, would if, you know, it was 10 months ago or hopefully 10 months from now, also must be hard. Although, to your point, I think that, you know, this project in particular, you know, is, you know, in other music too, and is a kind of salve. I mean, I think it is helpful to listen to this project in this time. So, you know, thank you for, you know, providing that for people, for me, for, you know, people who will get this project. You mentioned social media. So, you know, let's give people, the places to find you and to find the music before we get out of here.
Yeah. In terms of social media, IG, Twitter, all the same, Asar Music, AUSAR Music. And you can find me on all streaming platforms under Asar. And it is there, whatever you need. Also, if you happen to use a specific streaming platform that I've never heard of and it's not there, let me know. We'll get it up on there.
I'll tell you why I'm not going to get your name wrong again, because Asar is a star is how I'm going to remember it. And it really is true. And
wow.
Yo, man, I really appreciate your time. Love this project, man. And just continue to do the work that you're doing. And, you know, please just don't stop, because I think, you know, if you continue and, you know, to your point about the rest of this year and next year, you know, you will be in a very different place, I think, from a creative standpoint and in terms of like the world will absolutely want to know about the work that you make. So just continue, man. And thanks so much for being in the Corner Store today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official Corner Store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the Snack Door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the Corner Store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.